Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Molly and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. That's Ryan Pace. And again, it was the no news conference, the lack of cooperation. That's all right. They don't have to tell us anything. I'd be very curious to see how it turns out. And we asked you who your guy and what your questions are about this process. 312-644-6767. We'll start with Gabe, is waiting patiently on the road. Good morning, Gabe.
Hey, Molly and Hanley. How are you guys doing?
Morning, today? Gabe.
Great, bud.
Happy New Year. I don't really have a, like you said earlier, I have a basic belief that I guess not like a certain person that I want. I just want whoever they pick to just win games.
That's fair enough. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Not ask him for the world, just win games.
That's the trick of it, isn't it?
Don't reinvent the wheel, just go out and win games.
Compete is the key word. So my question, besides what I want for the coach, when is the okay, the McCaskies are the owners. They're not going anywhere. The head coach and GMs have been here and there. You know, we had a handful of coaches and two or three GMs. The guy that I want to know who's going to be held responsible if this fails, when are they going to start looking at Ted Phillips and saying, you're the team president and you're the one that picked all these GMs who in turn picked all these failed coaches? When is he going to be held accountable? That's all I got.
Yeah, thanks, Gabe. Appreciate it. It's an interesting question. Ted is sort of the protector of the family, right? Is that a way of looking at his job? His job is to be the person that is responsible for he kind of runs the team, but also protects the family name and makes sure that,
how's that working out for everybody?
You know, I don't know is the answer, because I would think that process would have started already.
Well,
and apparently it has not.
I mean, you wrote about it a couple times in the Tribune. We've talked about it. You know, is it time to bring in an overseer? You know, and doesn't have to be a football guy. You know, go find your John McDonough. As long as you're looking for your Sean McVay, go find your John McDonough to tell you how to put together a winning organization. You know, again, the low-hanging fruit is getting rid of the coaching staff. It always is. Tell me how things are going to change within the organization. Tell me what the goal is.
There's no change.
No one articulated a goal on Monday other than sustained success. I mean, okay, if you're going to steal the vocabulary of Theo Epstein, then go find me Theo Epstein. I mean, you know, that's what – when Theo talked about sustained success in his introductory press conference, it was easier to make that leap of faith because he was coming from a different city, a different organization where he overcame some of the same obstacles the Cubs were facing – and he found a way to get a couple World Series championships. So you could say, okay, he knows what it looks like. He knows what the process is all about. You trust the process. But, you know, that's the thing. You know, Ted, the fact that he was there Monday, given Ryan Pace announcing a two-year extension to the general manager, tells you that day it certainly hasn't arrived yet. And will it ever arrive as long as the McCaskies are in charge?
I was talking to a guy yesterday, and I was saying, you know, where does this go? Like, what? And he's like, you want to know what the story is? You want to know what the story is? I'll tell you what the story is. The story is they need to sell the team.
Yeah.
And I said, well, that's not, that is not breaking news. And he's like, yeah, but you ought to really go and tell people the McCaskies have to go. Tell the McCaskies that the NFL is at its apex and it may be declining and they should sell now. That's not the way they view the organization.
No, they are the legacy. They are the legacy franchise.
Yes,
they value. They believe that they're watching over some sort of trust, public trust, and it's in their hands. It's the best hands. No one else would value the history and everything goes. Okay, that's great. Unless you're a prisoner to that history, where you haven't moved.
I mean, I like that comment, but what does that mean, a prisoner to that history?
Well, I mean, if that's the first thing you default to, and George defaulted to that on Monday when he talks about, you know, that, that, you know, we are the Lake. I mean, that's great. That should be part of the fabric of the Chicago Bears. It shouldn't be the be all end all whenever conversation turns to change and moving forward about, well, everyone loves the Chicago Bears. Everyone nationally looks at us and holds us in some high esteem. No, 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 no.
If I'm up for a job, I'm doing my research, and I know what the people in the room want to hear. And I think that I think I have a pretty good understanding of what George wants to hear.
Sure.
Part of it is an understanding that you come into an interview and you have an understanding of the history of the Bears. And you talk about the great Bears players, and you talk about the history of the franchise, and you know, and how much that legacy means to you. And you come up with some, you know, my father was a coach. You could come up with 100,000 ways of presenting that the Bears meant something to you.
Sure.
I think he wants to hear that.
Well, he actually said as much when he was recounting how he hired Ryan Pace, and they're walking through the lobby with all the montages, yes, and all the historical pictures and trophies and everything else. And at some point, the conversation there, you know, he's pointing things out, and Ryan Pace was pointing things out as much as George was. And he said at that moment, he knew he had his guy, right?
See, that bothers me.
Right.
It bothers me that it's that transparent. 312-644-6767. Joe is an Indy. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good. So I'm kind of narrowing down my personal fanboy pick, and I believe that Pat Shurmur would be the guy. And I would like to see, I mean, this is just speculation, obviously, but I would love to see DeFilippo will be the offensive coordinator and Ed Donatell be promoted to defensive coordinator. That way there's some continuity on the defense. I'm not a McDaniels fan. I believe that he's the Eric Spoelstra of the NFL. Pat Shurmur's my guy, and I hope to hear what you guys think.
Spoelstra did win some titles, you know. I mean, whether you like him or not, I mean, I like Pat Shurmur. I don't know. I mean, it's, you know, look, I think they got a lot of options. I think that the idea that you get an offensive guy and you get a guy that's worked with a lot of different types of quarterbacks, and you know, Case Keenum is a different type of quarterback.
Sure.
And
the fact that he's gone through three in one season and kept the quality and lost Adrian Peterson, never had him, and then they lose the running back, and they're still as much of the defense as the linchpin of that team.
You lost a guy who was a number one overall pick in a draft. You lost a guy that was, or you didn't never had a guy that mm-hmm. was a first-round draft pick in the future of the franchise, and then you wound up with a guy that's a journeyman sure. player that was available to anyone, and you won with him. So I'd say that's pretty good.
He's 52, though, right? Is that almost...
What's wrong with 52?
I'm with you, but...
How old is John Fox?
He's not Sean McVay, right? If the back to the narrow...
How old is Joe Madden? He's the oldest coach in baseball. We were just talking about the guy
you were talking to who said, oh, so you're going to get Sean McVay and Trubisky is Jared Goff.
It goes back to what Dave Wansett said. You need a guy that can wear a baseball cap backwards.
Right.
And,
you know,
I mean,
yeah, that's
really
what I'm saying. Because it's a copycat league, right? So... Because Pat Shurmur is a former head coach, and you know, it was...
Who's the best coach in the league?
Well, I mean, ostensibly...
How old is Bill Belichick?
Right.
Come on. I wouldn't let that stop me. I mean, that's ageism. I think if a guy knows what the hell he's doing, it's fine. Give him his chance. John's in Humboldt Park. Good morning, John.
Hey, good morning, guys. Happy New Year to you.
Bless you.
I wanted to go back to the previous segment with Zach Zabin saying that... We must get an offensive-minded coach. And that's what's starting to make me mad was because you want to get the right coach, regardless if it's offensive or defensive. My pick is Matt Patricia. I think he's going to be one of the best.
Literally a rocket scientist, that guy.
Yeah. And,
exactly. Yeah.
And does wear the baseball cap backward.
Yeah, I think he's going to
And he looks like a bear.
Yeah, that's true, too. So I disagree with this. You have to get an offensive-minded coach.
But, John, here's the thing. You know why people say that? It's real simple. It's what you don't want is to bring a guy in, and he obviously, if you're talking to a defensive-minded coach, the first question, and I understand, you know, a lot of people think that. Let's talk it through.
You're going to be scared.
But let's talk it through. You bring in a guy, and you say to him, right, he's a defensive-minded coach. So you figure, all right, your defense is going to improve. and you're going to get the benefit of special teams. You bring the guy in, you say to him, hey, who's your offensive guy? He gives you a name. That guy comes in here, you turn it around, you win. That guy goes and gets all the power in Miami.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Like it, that's you, and then you feel like
the whole point
is winning, but the idea behind getting the offensive minded head coach, and that's why probably why they can't want to keep Fangio, because their vaunted and much valued continuity would remain. And at the same time, you would bring in somebody that could work with the young quarterback, and you change a scheme to fit whoever that guy is, and then you wouldn't be changing it again and again and again as these coordinators failed and left, which is what happened during the Cutler era.
Yeah, I'm just saying, though, if you get the right coach, it's not going to matter.
Yes.
You know the coach.
I totally agree with you, John, because, again, if you get the right coach, you know, Bill Belichick is, you know, he made his name as a brilliant defensive coordinator. And there was a lot of thinking at the time that Belichick, with that personality, couldn't win without Parcells. And Parcells was the guy that was the offensive guy and was the demanding coach and was the old-school guy. And then when you look at
way,
it,
how
Parcells
many,
never won anything without Belichick.
How many offensive coordinators have they gone through with Tom Brady? I mean, once you get the quarterback up and running, okay, if you have, in fact, the next Aaron Rodgers here. So, and I'm with John. You know, get to the winning part first, where you're a playoff team and you actually, I don't know, if you actually won a Super Bowl where everyone's being plucked off your staff. That's the beauty of it, because now you've got the franchise quarterback. He should be able to work with just about anybody.
All right, we're going to get back to it. I know a lot of people want to check in. We'll get to all your calls, but we're also going to talk to Bob Nightingale next. There is news with the Cubs, and there is the possibility of Jake Arrieta coming back. We will talk to Bob about that next. Mully and Hanley on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. Scott Boras holds Jake Arrieta in high regard.
And those trees are planted in Playoffville.
No one else. That's right. That's right. Let's get out to Bob Nightingale, USA Today MLB columnist, joins us now. And Bob, you know, Scott Boras has got a point. I mean, I think Jake's a hell of a pitcher, and I think the Cubs would do well to have him back. Does the fact that the Cardinals are in on this make it any more important for the Cubs to cut a deal?
Yeah, I mean, it'd be interesting to see how much the Cardinals are in on them. They're typically not a team that spends a whole lot of money on pitchers. So they may be in on a 3 or 4 year deal. They're not going to go 5 or 6, let alone 7 years. So I think they're kind of putting their foot in the water. But I don't think they're big on him big time to give him the money he wants.
And Bob, loved your column yesterday, because we get clarity on the Cubs' offer, 4 years at $110 million. Couple questions. Is that flexible? I don't think the years are flexible. Is the money flexible? And is there a 5 or 6 year, certainly not a 7 year deal, but is any team out there laying in the weeds, 40 days out of spring training, willing to go that extra mile to get Jake or even you, Darvish, at this point?
Well, yeah, I think certainly the money's flexible. I don't think the Cardinals, I mean, I don't think the Cubs will go over 4 years at all. The one team you always have to watch out for is Washington Nationals, just because Scott Boras' relationship with the Lerner family who owns the team. So you can never count them out. Texas Rangers are always a team you got to watch out for. And Atlanta Braves and Philadelphia Phillies are both looking for a veteran starter who can kind of help the young guys along. So I think there's still some teams out there that are kind of waiting to see if this price tag will drop down.
You know, I hate to use this word, but collusion jumps to your mind sometimes when you see the way the free agent market is going.
136 free agents still out there.
That's a lot, isn't that? I mean,
after
this time
January
of year,
1, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, no one's really, mentioned that word. I think because the price tags are high, guys are getting offers, but they're just not getting the offers they want. So it's not like the old days with Andre Dawson where, no one's giving an offer at all. So, yeah, I think just the teams now are thinking much alike, and everybody's afraid to give a horrible contract out there. We see what's going on with these guys like Shinsen Chu and You know, teams trying to give him away, or Jacoby Ellsbury. We saw the big salary dump between the Atlanta Braves and the Dodgers, you know, about a month ago. So nobody wants to be stuck with those kind of contracts. The Minnesota Twins, they came out of that deal. You know, that was one of the worst contracts of all time. So I think you just got to, the teams want to be careful now. Like, we don't mind giving up too much money, but we certainly want to be stuck with a bunch of years on it.
So we're, what, a week away from Cubs convention? Other teams have their versions and variations of it. I think the Cardinals call there's the winter warm-up. What happens between now and then? Anything? I mean, what will it take to get a Darvish signed, or certainly Jake, either to decide to come back to the Cubs or find his next team?
You know, I think with Jake, I think, you know, everybody kind of thought, with Boris representing him, that he's going to be a late signing. A lot of his top guys have always been late January, February, even in the spring training. So I don't see Arrieta being signed before, before the Super Bowl. I think it's going to be a while. Darvish is looking for his 6 or 7 year deal. The Cardinals need a closer bad. Their big thing is trying to get a closer in there. You know, maybe one more bat, then loaded with young starters. So if a veteran starter fell on that, they would do it. So, and obviously, the Cubs need their starting pitcher. I think the preference is to trade for one if they can. I mean, everybody in the world wants Gerrit Cole or Michael Fulmer, you know, or even a Chris Archer if it can happen.
Bob, I guess what I don't understand is, when we start talking about free agency, I was always under the impression that the longer the time went on, the worse it was for the players. That basically, you know, if you were worth it with the years and the money, you were going to get it immediately. And if you didn't, then we're playing a waiting game. But as Brian says, the waiting game seems to be just the way things are going. So does this benefit either side? I certainly can't imagine those deals suddenly being created. When did the teams get desperate? When do the players get desperate?
Yeah, I think the players will get desperate more than the teams. I mean, everybody wants to know where you're going to live the next 8-9 months. You know, wives get nervous. The kids don't want to know what's going on. And I think the players start to put some pressure on their agent, saying, let's get this thing done. The team's only real urgency, because there's a lot of time, is, hey, if we want to start a player, let's get him in a hurry here before we start selling season tickets. The earlier you get a guy, the more you can market him. So that's the only urgency for a team. They can wait, at least until spring training.
You mentioned Chris Archer's name. It seems like we've been hearing that for at least a couple of years, if not longer, and yet he's still pitching for the Rays, and looks like he still will be come spring training. Are they just not motivated? Are they not hearing what they want to hear? And then there's a story here with the Cubs that they're still miffed about the Joe Madden Bolton, so that they don't even want to deal with the Cubs, even if the Cubs have the best package to offer for Archer.
Well, I think the Rays will still, they would certainly still deal with the Cubs on that. Yeah, they were upset with Madden, but that's, years ago now. If they get what they want, they just want to get overwhelmed. I mean, a Herschel Walker type of deal. And that's not happening. He's got such a cheap contract. They still have him under control for another 4 years. So there's no urgency. And they need to get some people to come watch the Rays. So I think they feel like, be a ticket draw and get attraction as well.
Bob, what's your best guess on where Jake ends up, where you, Darvish, ends up, where Alex Cobb ends up?
Yeah, I'm surprised. I mean, Cobb, seemed like a natural fit at one time with the Cubs. I mean, this thing is, he's asking for a lot of money. He's been injury prone. I would not be surprised to see a Darvish in a Seattle situation, maybe Minnesota, where teams get a little desperate and say, we really need this guy. Forget his track record in the postseason. We think he's got so much talent. So I could see him at a smaller market. Arrieta, I still think he'll end up in a place like a Texas, Atlanta, or a Philadelphia. And we'll see where Cobb's market drops him. Maybe at some point he says, I really want to go pitch for my old pitching coach. I like pitching for Madden back in the day, so let me go there. some. The Cubs have got to get somebody, and they know it. And there's still so many good pitchers out there. And hey, if they get their hands in Gerrit Cole, you know, they'll do that. They're certainly in that in those trade discussions.
What's Pittsburgh looking for Gerrit Cole?
You know, top notch. They need some a top notch position players. So
off the major league roster, right?
Yeah, I mean, you would have to have an Ian Happ involved. I'm not sure Schwarber, you know, GH from Pittsburgh either, an alpha type. But yeah, you'd have to have at least, you know, one solid piece of that too for the major league roster.
Bob, we'll let you go. Just on the other side of town, the White Sox, are they going to make any deals? I mean, the thinking was that that maybe Abreu would be a possible fallback position for teams that that didn't get involved in the Miami stuff. Where are they at, and can they make any more deals, or does this now, with all the players available, does this turn into a waiting game for them and maybe a mid-season type thing?
Yeah, I think it's a waiting game for the White Sox. You know what, with all these guys down here, you know, we may get a nice veteran to fall to us for real cheap, and we'll grab him. I don't think they're getting Manny Machado anymore, mm-hmm. Or anything like that. And but if you talk to White Sox people, they say, you know, Abreu is almost off the board. I mean, it would really have to be overwhelmed to move him, just because of what he means to that clubhouse. And they think, you know what, if our young guys are going to learn right, let's learn under Abreu's leadership in that clubhouse. And realistically, now they're still a year and a half away from being a contender.
Sure.
I think things, you know, worked out great. They'd be contending sometime in June or July of next year.
Great stuff, Bob. Appreciate it, bud.
Sure, my pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Keep up the great work.
Bob
Thanks, Bob.
Nightingale from USA Today, their MLB columnist. Interesting stuff, Joe. I still wonder about who blinks, right? I mean, it just seems
The Super Bowl.
God, there's a Super Bowl's
going to come and go.
It's unbelievable. I really expected a lot more action.
So did Scott Boras.
Well,
$200 million in 7-year deals.
And if Jake comes to the Cubs, it just means he comes back to what they were talking about, right? I mean, it's almost a verification of what they thought.
It's got to start with Darvish. That's really what it seems like. Set the market. Most people view him as the number one option out there, and then all the other dominoes will fall. Something Bob mentioned there, Addison Russell or Ian Happ for 2 years, or Gerrit Cole, no thanks. ERA of 4 the last couple
of
years.
I know, I'm with you.
It's still based on that reputation of the number one pick overall. He's in his late 20s, but no, not for 2 years. You want to throw those names in there for Chris Archer? Let's talk, but no shot there. The Cubs will still go in free agency. I think that's the route they end up going. It's just maybe they're out on Darvish because they're waiting for that to happen.
Someday Alex Cobb's going to wake up and no one's going to be offering him $20 million. So.
I think so.
Yeah.
And then the Cubs will be there waiting for the value, and it'll be a great spot for him to just step in the back end of the rotation.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
Don't tap her.
I love just singing that thing at the top of my lungs. And we're delighted to welcome in Paul Allen, the voice of the Vikings, and of course a very popular midday host on KFAN there in Minneapolis, and a friend of the program, and a
voice of Canterbury,
horse racing expert. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
I just hit the daily double of Chicago sports radio dominance. It's Mully and Hanley on 670 The Score.
And you know, we just want to know which one of your coordinators we should steal for the head coaching job. Which one would you recommend?
I did that just in case your liners were stale.
Yeah, I was thinking that we didn't jump on you. We want to use that. Yeah, thank you.
Very nice.
I'm not. You know what? I'm not going to say which one is better for which team and why. I'm just going to say, like that clip your producer played as the rejoiner, as we call it in the business. Pat Shurmur has done it 2 years in Cleveland. He won 9 games. When you win 9 games in Cleveland, perhaps your nickname should be Shurmacek. And he is markedly better prepared to be a head coach now than he was then. And what he's done with the Vikings offense has been nothing short of fantastic. The defensive coordinator, George Edwards, reportedly also interviewing with your favorite team. George is extremely important to Mike, to Zimmer, when it comes to putting together game plans that led to the best defense in the NFL. So I wish them both well. Honestly, I hope we lose neither, but if we do, I understand.
You know, and Paul, when you look at Pat Shurmur in particular, you know, guy is 52 years old, though he's not the next Sean McVay. He has been a head coach. He's done, you know, going through three quarterbacks and keeping that quality of offense going throughout the season is remarkable in itself. But, you know, everyone's looking for the next 30-something, you know, a Matt Nagy, 39, or, you know, you look at DeFilippo as a quarterbacks coach. I don't think 52 is too old, but is the way the league looking at this thing now, is he almost too old for the gig?
Well, I mean, I have a lot of respect for Sean McVay. I am a little bored with the age narrative, and here's why. They did sign left tackle Andrew Whitworth. They added wide receivers Robert Woods and Sammy Watkins. They had a first overall pick in Jared Goff in his second year, and Todd Gurley was a top 10 pick. So, I mean, he kind of came into a stacked situation as it was. But nevertheless, with Shurmur, the age situation, I mean, it would bug me none. I mean, if I'm deep diving on Pat Shurmur, I look at a Vikings offense that lost Sam Bradford after the first game of the season, lost Dalvin Cook midway through the fourth game of the season. We were 2-2, and now you got this journeyman, fifth year from Houston, Case Keenum. This is your quarterback for the season. And the way he and the staff were able to raise Case and kind of help him navigate through things that were problematic, it's as good a job as I've seen in my 16 years with the team.
When we start talking about the Vikings, I mean, it's very interesting to me, Paul, to look at all the change in the division. And the Vikings are obviously the playoff team, the division champion, you know, the team that may well be the first to host a Super Bowl, which would be magnificent. I like a lot of the people up there. I just wonder if, you know, everyone's playing catch up, even Green Bay. You see Mike McCarthy keep his job, but he's also out there firing every coach he's got, and Ted Thompson stepping down. There's change going on there. Certainly the Lions are looking for a head coach. The Bears are looking for a head coach. What does it feel like to be sitting atop the heap like that? And is that a sustainable position for the Vikings, or when Aaron Rodgers comes back, does it once again become a two-team battle?
First of all, we're very happy that you like a lot of us up here.
I didn't necessarily mean you, but I do like you, Paul.
From a self-satisfaction standpoint, we can now go on with our days.
Well, you got a bunch of former Bears people, you know, Rick Spielman and George Payton and guys that I have known for years.
Hey, these no longer are the days of Marcus Robinson, Dwayne Bates, and Bobby Wade, my man.
Yeah. And Ragnar's in my bowling league, so I'm a big fan, you know.
Okay. Right, that's great. Well, the Vikings look to be stacked to be good for several years, specifically defensively, with guys like Eric Kendricks. You know, they have some guys they have to sign. Eric Kendricks, Anthony Barr, Danielle Hunter. But Linval Joseph, Everson Griffin, Xavier Rhodes, Harrison Smith, Trey Waynes for another couple of years at least. They have some high-enders that are locked up. Mm-hmm. The offensive line, I mean, when we chatted last year, it was awful. And it was a big reason we finished 8-8. It really, really jumped up this year. Now, when you look at the landscape of the division, I think we all know when number 12 plays in Green Bay, he masks a lot of the problems that they have. And it really was exposed this year. Now, the question is, when he comes back, how much is he going to be able to mask and how much are they going to change? In the two that I saw Trubisky, I had a high level of respect for how much he improved from week 5 until the final game of the season, specifically how he consciously was trying to stay in the pocket more. I think his arm strength and his accuracy will be better next year compared to what we saw this year. And Detroit has Stafford. So I think the division's going to be good, but there just needs to be a little remanaging of things.
Given all the different bodies that Shurmur had to work with and had to get through the quarterbacks, can you tell us what his offensive philosophy is in a perfect world?
Yeah, that's a great question, because he and Zimmer are really, really good at changing things up weekly, so you can't take away what you've seen the previous 1, 2, or 3 games. For instance, we got this running back, Latavius Murray. He was really slow to go middle of the season. They started using him. Teams would bring the safety down by the line, and then Shurmur would throw wide to Jerick McKinnon. Adam Thielen would be on fire. Then he would use Stephon Diggs. The Case Keenum situation is the A topic with Pat Shurmur, because Case was a one-read guy early in the season. He would tuck the ball away and he would run. Then we went to FedEx Field. He threw four touchdowns on the road, which was really good, but he went way out of body on a couple of plays, threw two of the worst interceptions you'd ever see. Washington got back in the game, but we won 38-30. And ever since that moment, Case has been managing the thing perfectly, striking where when he needs to strike. And when we play indoors, if you look at those passer ratings, man, in these indoor games are like around 120. So if we can keep these postseason games at U.S. Bank Stadium, I think we have a very good chance to go to the Super Bowl.
You know, George Edwards is an interesting character because I think we have much less understanding of who he is. You know, Pat Shurmur, we've known the Shurmur name. His uncle was a great offensive coordinator, and certainly, as you mentioned, he was a head coach. But you look at George Edwards, and you know, a lot of people, at least from the outside looking in, figure Mike Zimmer, pride of Lockport High and Illinois State, is really the genius behind a great defense, and George is his helper, not really a guy ready to take that next step. Do you feel that way? Is he ready to make that move? And how do you know, obviously the first question for him is, who's your offensive coordinator?
Well, George is brilliant when it comes to analyzing weaknesses of an adversarial offense. And after we play games on Sundays and Mike and George get together on Monday mornings very early, George has everything all squared away for Mike for the next game. So then Mike is able to do the blitz packages, the pressures, third down, and situational stuff. He's really able to hone in on that because George has the plan together. George is a brilliant defensive mind. When it comes to the offensive part of the equation, I have no idea. You know, if I'm a Bears fan, I really need to figure out what's next for Vic Fangio, because, you know, the Bears come to town, final game of the season, it's a 5-10 team. I'm like, we're happy for you, rookie quarterback, that whole thing. We know about Jordan Howard. But then I started watching back games, and I saw that they had given up 12 touchdowns in 41 quarters, offensive touchdowns. And at the level at which Eddie Jackson, Danny Trevathan, Sam Acho to a certain extent,
wow,
Kyle Fuller were playing, and I was blown away.
Yeah. Sure.
So I think Vic Fangio is going to be the next defensive coordinator of the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, yeah, that's a concern.
Yeah,
I think that's going to wreak havoc on everybody. I ain't kidding you.
Well, I mean, it makes perfect sense. You know, they're a 3-4 scheme. They're all set up for it. You bring him up there. I mean, I said that earlier this morning, that would be the first phone call I'd make if I was Mike McCarthy. And I think that, you know, they've interviewed Vic for the head coaching job, which he apparently would really wanted. I don't think they're going to hire him for it. And it's a pity, because that, otherwise I don't think you're keeping him.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not going to hire him, why do it?
Respect of some sort. I don't understand. They wouldn't commit to doing it when they had the news conference. Why are they doing anything? It's a very strange organization. We're still trying to figure things out. But Paul,
yeah, with the Shurmur thing, I mean, if Bears fans are interested in Pat Shurmur becoming the head coach, I've gotten to know Pat extremely well the last 2 years. He's a very impressive individual. He's not a Teflon man kind of impressive. He's a real guy. And he's really good at managing offense and managing quarterbacks. But you know what? Arizona also is going to interview him.
Yeah.
Arizona needs a quarterback. Sam Bradford is going to be unrestricted. So you know what? Arizona might be like, hey, it's warm down here. We have David Johnson, and we'll bring Sam Bradford with you. So there are just a lot of moving parts right now. I ain't kidding you.
Yeah, I think it's fun to play this game, but it's not just finding the right guy. It's finding a guy that wants you too. And I'm not saying that Shurmur doesn't, but when people have options, you know, maybe it's a different deal. I don't know. I don't know how highly thought of the Bears job is at this point, or how highly thought of the quarterback is. I think that we are excited at the possibility of having a quarterback, but we don't know. And I'm not sure, you know, Teddy Bridgewater, there was a moment where you thought that was going to work. Ditto with the the Bradford trade and all that, and Case Keenum ends up being the guy, which is a little bit maybe surprising to a lot of people.
All right, one of you needs to text me in about a month because my horse racing partnership, which includes Minnesota Wild goalie Alex Daylock, former Vikings offensive coordinator Norv Turner, and former offensive lineman here Brandon Busco.
Wow,
we bought a horse in Lexington two Septembers ago.
Uh-huh.
She was a 2-year-old, and she was training a hole in the wind, and then she hurt her foot. But she's back. She's training at Oaklawn Park. You're going to get a price, and she's going to win.
You know what? You're going to be hearing from us weekly.
We
sadly,
have a
Paul.
We have a name.
You're going to regret saying that.
you guys know, but she runs a Gulfstream, so you can hit that rainbow pick six.
Yeah, exactly right.
All righty, Paul. Thank you, buddy. That's our guy, Paul.
There's
Allen.
A partnership now, boy.
He's How got about that? Huh?
He's got some connections here.
Yeah. Who's our partnership? There's like five guys throwing $7 in, hoping that we can claim a. Well, you've got your own issues.
Yeah,
to do with
Chiseled
us.
Ran 23 lengths behind the field on Friday.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago's 4G.
Just because.
6-7 in the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.